Let me remind you, tonight at 5:30, you are all invited. Even if you're a guest today, you certainly are invited. We are having family night. Choir practice is 4:45. You need to be here for that, choir members. And then at 5:30, somewhere around there, we're going to have family night. We are having Hispanic night. No, we're not eating Hispanics, but we are eating Hispanic food, okay? Thought I'd clarify that. And it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time, and we look forward to that. We need, what time, Becky? Four? Somewhere between 4:30 and 4:45, we need the social folks here to set up. And it's going to be a wonderful time. So you come out, you don't need to bring a thing. No ice cream, no dessert, no nothing. We have it all for you, okay? All right. Let's pray together a moment. Lord, I just pray as right now this is the last service of a church year, that you will just take the words that you have poured into my heart to share with these folk today, and that we might truly hear you, that we might seize the day. Amen. The word carpe diem. Anybody know what carpe diem means? Come on, speak out. You can talk. Seize the day. That's right. Well, today we bring to conclusion a church year. It's not the secular year. And no, you don't have to make resolutions, but it has been a wonderful church year here. We've had baptism. We've had a number of baptisms. We've had tremendous giving in our missions. We have renovated our children's area and the adult area, and just so much going on. As you can tell, our children and youth, they're growing. I'm going to have book bag Sunday every Sunday if I can get that many here. And there was enough to just wonderful to do that. We move forward as a congregation, and that's a good thing. That's what Christ wants. He doesn't want us stagnant. He doesn't want us lukewarm. He wants us out there. We did back to school bash, and there are already thoughts and plans for next year for that. In fact, Tuesday, let me remind those of you that are with the WMU and the Baptist Men that this Tuesday, 6:30, we're going to be getting together, and we're going to have a meal. We're going to talk about our back to school bash and our school thing, and then we're going to start talking about one of the biggies around here, and that is Trunk or Treat. And we have all that to do, so we're staying busy. Starting next Sunday, we will start the new year with the Lord's Supper. And also, we will begin to promote probably the most important mission offering we take up, in my opinion. And that is the North Carolina Missions Offering. North Carolina Missions Offering goes for mission work among our Baptist men and other groups here in North Carolina. That's how they raise their funds. And I read something recently that shocked me and saddened me, but it just made me so proud of Holloway's. Only 1 out of 6 North Carolina Baptist churches give to the North Carolina Missions Offering. And that's just a shame, because that's money that goes to help in our state and out of our state. But we're going to be raising that starting for the month of September. But the question that God has for us is, okay, are we going to rest on our laurels over the next 12 months? What's going to happen? Are we going to kind of settle and soak, or what are we going to do? And I want to tell you that God is just, He has told me to tell you that it's time as we've been doing, to seize the day. That I believe, and God has told me that He wants to do it, I believe that the next 12 months are going to be the most exciting and the most challenging. And I don't like this next part. In some ways, the most frustrating 12 months we've ever experienced. Why? Because there are things that God wants to do, first of all, in you and through you, that are going to change you, are going to change your family, and are going to change your community. And that is what it's all about. The Lord's call for us to seize the day really finds its foundation in Ephesians 3, beginning at verse 14. Ephesians 3, verse 14, it'll be up on the screen. I hope I got everything to Robbie, and I hope I don't go too fast for you here. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. He's writing to believers. And Paul says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father." And this is me. I've been bowing my knees before the Father to say, "For whom every family in heaven on earth derives its name, that He would grant us according to the riches of His glory. First of all, that we be strengthened, in power, with power, the power of the Holy Spirit like never before in this place, that we would be strengthened in power to the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, and that you may, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth of the love of Christ, which surpasses all knowledge. God wants us to grow in Him. One of the things I'm really excited about is that I do see our people. You see, what gives a pastor pleasure? Is it the lady, like the lady that walked out the door one Sunday, and she said, "Preacher, you're just a model preacher. You are just a model preacher." And you know, I heard those words, and I think I was in my early 30s, and boy, I swole up like a male peacock and strutting around my house. I said, "Rose, do you know that Sister so-and-so, and she never says anything good to me, said I was a model preacher." I'm a model preacher. I walked around all afternoon. I'm a model preacher. You have to know that my wife, the school teacher, retires 1st of November. Been on medical leave before that. She went, and as only she would have, she brought a dictionary. And she had highlighted in the dictionary, "model, a small replica of the real thing." You know, that'll happen. It will. They'll humble you, won't they? As we seize the day, as we think of Him and what God wants to accomplish in us and through us, I want you to look at verse 20, and I hope that you know this verse. If you don't, it's a passage that means so much. And it's what God wants to do. Listen, this is not an ordinary passage. "Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever." To Him who is able to do far more abundantly than we can ask or think. Ladies and gentlemen, God is asking us to do some things. He's asking us to seize the day. And in seizing the day, God wants to do some things in us that are absolutely better, bigger, and stronger than we've ever done before. Why? So that we can walk around and say, "Look what we've done." No, so that we can step back and say, "Look what God has done." Who would have believed, as I told you last week, as Debbie was talking about all we had done, school supplies, this so-called little bitty church right here in little bitty Southmont. I watched on the television, and there was a group of churches that had come together in Greensboro, and they were on the news, and they were patting themselves on the back, and others patting them on the back, because they'd given away, they'd raised like $2,000 for school supplies. You know, I kind of giggled when I read that. I said, somebody needs to call news to it. I think it's wonderful what they did, but we did over $3,000 because of your giving. Why? Is that something we could have done? If Debbie had stood up and said, "Between all the school supplies and everything you give and the money you gave and the money the church gave, we're going to set a goal for $3,000. Y'all would have told her, "Debbie, what would you have told who you told you?"
That's crazy.
No, you're crazy, lady. Good luck with that. Folks, that wasn't us. That was God. And that's what God wants to do. I want you to turn with me to the book of Revelation, because I really believe that there is a passage there that speaks along with this, that God can do more than we can ask, more than we can think. So what does that passage mean? As you're turning to Revelation 3. Revelation 3. What does that mean? It means that we need to ask God for more than we can even imagine. And I'm doing that right now. I'm going to shock, not today, I'm not going to shock you, because I don't want to just kill you right here for Labor Day. But there's some things we're going to be asking you to do because God's asking us to do it. And I'm going to share it with you, and others are going to share it with you. And you're just going to go, "There's no way we can do that." And I can tell you right now, you're absolutely right. There's no way we could have given $3,000. But God provided it. And more. Revelation 3, verses 7 and 8. John, the beloved, is writing to the churches of Asia. And he says about the church at Philadelphia, "And to the angelos of the church in Philadelphia, He who is holy, who is true, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, and shuts and no one, and who shuts and no one opens, says this. Now who is that? That's Jesus saying, look, when I open a door, nobody shuts that door. When I close a door, no matter how hard you beat on it, no matter how hard you knock on it, you can't open it. Listen to what he says. I know your deeds. And behold, I have put before you an open door which no one can shut, because you have a little power and have kept my word and have not denied my name. Ladies and gentlemen, I really believe that God wants us to seize the day, that we need to do like the Apostle Paul said in his letter to the Philippians. We need to just put the past behind it. We need to move forward. You saw how many youth and children were up here. That's not enough. Wouldn't it be wonderful during this time, and some of you will, how would we do that? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we filled up to the point we had to have a children and youth worship service somewhere else? And I'll go over there and y'all get a real preacher. Because they're going to serve Kool-Aid over there. You say, well, what do you mean? Folks, God has amazing things He wants to do. He's setting before us an open door. Now here's the question. Are we going to seize the day? Or are we going to walk through that door? Now I'm going. I don't know if you're going, but I'm going. And I don't want to take you kicking and screaming. And I don't want to go alone. How do we seize the day? Well, the answer to that is found in Philippians, Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. If you will turn to the third chapter in verse 14, we're to seize the day, we're to ask, we're to begin to believe, we're to begin to dream and ask God to do things He can't do. Let me tell you what our young people are asking for. We've been working on just trying to get them a space. I just wanted to get them their own kind of space where they could do something where nobody else could have it. You know what those rascals did? You know what they did? They said, we don't want that space, it isn't big enough. We want something bigger and something better. We want something where we can invite our friends and we can go out into the community and we can impact our young people. We want something bigger. I remember remarking with one of them, how are we going to pay for it? I wish I hadn't said that. I got a lesson. You'll know what that lesson was. Well, you've been telling us, God give us anything we ask for if we ask the right way. I thought, uh-oh. I've become an old person. When I say old, I don't mean old in age. I mean old in faith. How can we do that? We can't, but God can. In Philippians 3:14, the Apostle Paul says these words, beginning at the last part of verse 13, he says, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ. Folks, if we're going to seize the day, the first thing we got to do is make that our motto this year. That last year is last year. We did some wonderful things, but there are more people that need the gospel. There are more of our young people that need to be discipled. There are more that need to be reached. And we're going to say, yes, thank you, Lord, for what you did through us and in us last year. But next year is going to be better. Next year is going to be a greater impact. Not so we get the praise, but so that you get it all. That's the first way we seize the day. The second way is we need to pray like we've never prayed before. Folks, I want to tell you, there are sometimes when churches pray that they have a little short prayer and then a whole lot of that on Wednesday nights around here. I have started facilitating. I'm not teaching it. Dr. Semble is teaching. We are facilitating something known as when God's people pray in the battleground of prayer. We've had the largest groups we've had since I've been here. Why? Because folks are coming together to learn how to pray better and to pray more. And one of the first things that Dr. Semple has taught us is that we don't ask God for enough. I'm not talking about what we want. I'm talking about we don't ask God. We don't ask God like a fellow found in the book of Chronicles. In the first Chronicles, the fourth chapter, just listen to me. His name was Jabez. Well, who was that? Well, he was the third cousin. No, Jabez was just one of the guys that mentioned. It says, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, and he said, oh, that you would bless me indeed, that you would enlarge my border, that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, that it might not pain me. Now, I think that's a wonderful prayer. Another way to say it is, oh God, would you bless me indeed? Would you enlarge my territory? Now, I'm not going to ask him to stand up and give a testimony, because the last time they prayed that prayer, God was in serious trouble. I taught that when I was first here. We had two folks here that began to pray that, and they were praying for their church and for their family by the name of Brian and Missy Holland. And Brian and Missy used to be able to go off on the weekend and do what they wanted to do. And God decided he was going to enlarge their territory, he was going to bless them, and he was going to use them to bless others. And all of a sudden, a little cute boy by the name of Who showed up. They weren't planning on Jack. Apparently, they kept praying. Because it wasn't long for another blessing came in their life by the name of Olivia. Now, God enlarged their family, enlarged their territory. Wow. Yes, it's brought great joy to them. No terror or sorrow at all, I'm sure. But what a blessing. And one day we'll get them to tell you the story of Jack and Olivia, where they were coming from and what they would have faced. Folks, that's what God wants us to pray. Lord, will you bless this church more than you've ever blessed it? Will you enlarge our territory? What does that mean? Enlarge our impact for ministry. More than we can imagine, more than we can do. That you will keep us safe is what it's asking us. That's what God's asking us to do, to seize the day. Our personal motto, beginning what lies behind, I'm going to push it forward. Our prayer, oh Lord, that you would bless us indeed. Folks, Wednesday nights are not just about teaching, they're about praying. We prayed over prayer blankets. I shared with our folks this past Wednesday night and the one before that. My brother Doug, who recently discovered he had melanoma, they removed it, and we're so glad that he doesn't have cancer. Doug has watched his own brother, who's a minister, go through some tough times and struggles, and Doug grew up in the church, baptized at First Baptist like I was, but he got away from the church. And in some ways, he wasn't cynical, not toward the Lord, but he was cynical toward the church. We prayed over an Appalachian State, if you can imagine, Brenda. I know you did. An Appalachian State prayer blanket. And I delivered that to him at the hospital. And you watched a single man in his 50s who's kind of hard and set in his ways. That prayer blanket and the note with it that said, we prayed for you and we're praying for you, melted my brother's heart. And it touched him in a way nothing else I've seen could. Listen, he's got a sister in my sister Debbie who is to the right of Rush Limbaugh when it comes to religion, okay? She, you know, she's more conservative than God, I do believe, at times. And he'd had her preaching at him, and he'd had me and this and that. None of that did any good. He'd had his family praying for him. But you prayed for him, and you made a difference. Difference in lives. I can't tell you. When we took Robert's prayer blanket to him, when we took James's prayer blanket to him, and Tom, who was at the hospital, you know, he said, I wish I had that prayer blanket. That means so much to me. You see that, folks? You're making a difference. Why? Because some folks took no. Because we prayed over that and anointed into that blanket his prayers. Prayers what? That God will do amazing things. That's what we want him to do. The third step in seizing the day is to move forward in faith. If you remember, I preached a series on It's Time to Cross the Jordan, and we began to do that, and we began to move out as a church. We moved from where we were to where God wants us to go, and we're nowhere near there yet. But one of the beautiful things about the step that Joshua took, God tells them after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness and 40 years of doing nothing, God says, listen, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go. I want you to get up and go and cross over and take the promised land that I promised for you. As they've made plans and they've gone through preparations, God says, but now you're going to take a step of faith. The Jordan River was at flood tide. Nobody got in it over knee-deep without being in serious danger of drowning. The priest carrying the Ark of God, and they're ready to go. He says, Joshua, it's time to go. Cross the Jordan. Now, what God didn't do is said, I'm sending in the Army Corps of Engineers, we're going to build a pontoon bridge, and y'all can walk over. He didn't call Moses back from heaven and say, Moses, here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand on the edge of the banks, and I want you to hold up your rod, and I want you to split it like you did
the city.
He didn't do that. He says, here's what you're going to do. He says, you're going to take the ark, priest, and you're going to step into the Jordan. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know that I want to be one of those priests. It'd be bad enough stepping into the Jordan when it's in flood time. You've seen some of the flooding that's going on and how dangerous just a little bit of water is. He says, you're going to step into the water. And when you step into the water, when you show that act of faith, you're going to see what I do. They take up the ark. All the people are behind it. And they start into the water. All of the priests is in the water. And you want to know what happened? The scripture says that the water drew back miles and miles. Now, God didn't draw the water back and then dry it up and then have somebody carry him over. No, they had to take the step of faith and to step into the water. You know, that's what the Lord's calling us to do today. He's calling us to a deeper commitment. For some of you, you've never gotten your feet in the water. It's time to get in the water. Rose and I are with you. Rose and I are going to stay with you. And we're committed to a deeper walk. To you deacons and your wives, we ordained deacons last week, and we know not all of them are here, and some of them are going off, but we need our deacons to make a deeper commitment than they've made before. We need you to be more than before. To you Sunday school teachers, we need you to commit to studying harder and teaching harder and praying harder. I want to ask you, and I don't know if you do, I pray you do, that you pray for your class every week. That you pray for who's going to be there, and that God will make a difference. We need to commit to that. That's what God's calling us to as we seize the day, to our children's church workers. We need more of them. We're praying to the Lord of the harvest. I know Debbie is, and I know I am. Jesus said, pray to the Lord of harvest, then He'll send out more workers. We need more. Folks, that's a bunch of children. And Kendra and Ruth both told me if I went past 12 too far, they were going to kill me because they got that whole bunch, okay? We need to pray for a deeper commitment in that area, for our youth workers. You saw how many young people we have. We want to make a difference. We want to go forward. One of the things I challenge you to do as a church is I really believe, and I still believe this. I haven't given up on this. And we have probably $5,000 to $6,000. We need a youth minister. Where'd we get that $5,000 to $6,000 from? People gave it. Most of them don't have youth. They gave it. I think we need somebody in that area. We have wonderful lay people. Russell and Susan have done it. They're still helping out, but Robbie and Tina are taking over. But we need someone. What do? We step out. Well, I don't know if we can afford that. I don't think we can afford not to do it. That's why I willingly stepped up, and others have willingly stepped up and pledged to do. Our committee members, we start a new church here, and you're going to be serving on this committee or that committee. You're going to be ushering. Be the best usher you can be. Commit to being here. Commit to doing. We need commitment. Let me go to one more group. We need committed choir members. I wish Ruth was here. Folks, the choir, I'm going to tell you, I've never told you this. I won't see you at 4:45 because I don't sing with you. You can't come to choir practice every eighth practice or every ninth one or when you feel like it and make a difference on Sunday morning. In most of the churches I've been in, you didn't get to sing if you didn't come to practice. Some of you go, we don't do it that way. I'm challenging our choir folks to get here and be prepared. If I came in unprepared, if your Sunday school teacher came in unprepared, you wouldn't want me here long. You choir members need to be here. You need to be learning the music. And you need to be committed to leading in worship because that's what you do. We need you to do that. And finally, to our church members, we need you to be here. We need you to give. We need you to encourage. And we need you to pray. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Paul says, forgetting what lies behind, he said earlier. He says, fixing your eyes on Jesus. That's what we need to do. Folks, we close the church here. We begin another one. It's 12:01. It's time for me to be quiet. It's time for our invitation. But it's time to seize the day. In the area of youth, in the area of children, in the area of adults. Let me tell you something we don't have, which we're going to be working on. We don't have a whole lot more space in here. Any of you getting uncomfortable, getting kind of tired in there? I'd actually have people say to me, man, what are we going to do if we get, what are we going to do if we add 40 more people? Well, here's what we'll do. We'll open the balcony and we'll stick them up there because nobody will sit. We'll do whatever we need to do. Let me tell you what we don't have. We don't have any extra Sunday school rooms. If we outgrow our Sunday school rooms, we don't have any. We don't have any more. We don't have adequate youth space.
So what are we going to do? We're going to gripe about it? We're going to do this? No, we're going to pray. We're going to pray, and we're going to do like that young person said. We're going to believe God to do, because we're going to seize the day. And my question is, Rose and I have already said we're committed. What about you? What about you? As we come in our time of invitation, it's a time of commitment. Yeah, I'm going to do more. I'm going to come more. I'm going to be more. I'm going to give more. I'm going to make sure that this church moves forward. Why? Because there's a community out there going to hell that needs what we have. And there are people out there that are just like us. The only difference, we've discovered Jesus, and they need Him. So let's pray together. Father, I pray that my words, the words that you put in my heart and my mouth, have not fallen on deaf ears. And that we truly will, Lord. We'll make a commitment. Lord, we won't try to see what we can do, but we'll believe in asking you what you want to do. And what you want to do is greater than we can ask or think. Now, Lord, if we'll ever seize that, if we'll ever believe that, you will begin to make a difference in us like you've never made before. Father, we're about your kingdom work here. Rose and I are as committed to this place as we've ever been. We just ask you, Lord, to ask your people to seize the day today. Amen.
Amen.
Well,